I know you missed that sexy smile. I know you did. I'm here. I have a fantastic guest today. I'm going to intro her in a second. I just want to let you know, throughout this show, I know you're going to want to get lively in the chat. This is just one of those shows. Top G, Tyler, is here for it. He's going to be paying close attention. I'm going to check in often, more often than not, with the chat. So if you have questions for our guests, who I'm going to intro in a second, questions for me, please get on in there. Super chats will be read first, as always. So I wanted to talk today with Leia Heilpern. Did I say it right?
You said it perfectly.
Okay, there you go. She is here. She's in the house. She's live in studio with me because I've seen a lot of her content regarding Andrew Tate. She does these fantastic men on the streets that I just watch with bated breath because I'm going to talk to you about the experience of doing those because I used to do men on the streets myself. But let me tell you a little bit about Leia. For those of you who don't know, and I know a lot of you do know because you're in the chat super excited that she's here today, but she is host of the Leia Heilpern Show. Her book is called Undressing Bitcoin, which I think is the best title. You always got to keep it sexy, and you did, and I love it because you know what, money is a sexy topic. Money is freedom, and we all know that. So I love the title of that book. You people should check it out. People who are really into crypto and all that stuff, she is an expert on that stuff. And today she's here. We're not going to talk about crypto that much. We're going to talk about masculinity. We're going to talk about Andrew Tate, modern women, body count. Oh yeah, dating apps, and so much more. Thank you for being here today. I'm super excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I watch all your content. love what you guys are doing. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
So I truthfully didn't know a lot about you before I saw some of that interview that you did with Andrew Tate. And it was at a time where I was just sort of figuring out who he was, trying to get my sense of like, who is this guy? You know, was new to the space, was new to the YouTube space, watched a lot of that interview. I thought it was really well done. And I was like, huh, it kind of showed me a little bit of a different side to him than I had seen in a lot of these short clips and whatnot. But when I went to your channel, one of the things that fascinated me with these man on the street segments that you do, we should call them woman on the street.
So we can call them man on the street. That whatever. Doesn't bother me. It's okay. Exactly. I'm good.
So you get on out there and one of them is in London and you look beautiful. You head out there with the best of intentions and you ask people about Andrew Tate and their perceptions of them. So I just want to show a small clip of that so people know. People who haven't seen this, you should go to her channel and check it out. It's fantastic. I'm just going to show you a little clip so we can talk about it and you have a reference. Tyler, let's show that first one at 312.
Base stuff. He hasn't got a criminal record. Like, what's he done that people don't like?
Well, I think it's, to be honest with you, the... I think it's this... the kind of the situation with...
oh my god. Do you guys know who Andrew Tate is?
Okay, so this is a pattern that I notice is that you go out there mm-hmm. and you're just asking people, why don't you like the guy? And it's like these bumbling, like, what degrees of just, they don't know what to say. They just know they've been told not to like mm-hmm. him, but they can't actually articulate to you one good reason why. What is your experience actually like? We're seeing like, you know, edited footage. Yeah. What happens when you do these?
That's such a great question. I'm just so happy we can talk about this because it's a wild experience. Like I go out there and to be fair, you know, I pick people that look interesting, you know, we're all trying to make TV here. But a lot of the time, because I'm sweet and smiley, they think that I'm going to be on their side. So they're more than happy to talk to me. I do warn them beforehand. And I do say, hey, look, like whatever you say, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate just so, you know, make it more interesting. No problem, Leia. That's totally fine. We start and there's like a look in their eyes. It changes. Like I'm talking to girls and they think that I'm going to be like, yeah, he's a bad person. But when I'm like, do you have any examples? Like, is there any evidence? They look at me like, bitch, you're supposed to be on my side. Yeah. And I actually feel really bad because I'm not that confrontational and I do feel bad having that kind of, they feel punked and I do feel bad, but then I'm out with my brother and a couple of other guys and they sort of tell me, Leia, these are the people that are pushing the woke agenda. Don't feel bad, you know, yeah. Like they deserve it. Because also I spoke to a French girl on that video and she's accusing Andrew of sex trafficking. That's a really big accusation. Another girl accused him of pedophilia, which is a huge accusation. So actually, no, these people should be held accountable for what they're saying, mm-hmm. but it's uncomfortable, it's very confrontational, and it's weird.
What's interesting for me is because you are very sweet. You have a very sweet nature to you, and it's very disarming, right? Because you go up to someone, you're not in their face. Right. You're not like, well, why do you say that? You know, you're just asking very simply. You know, you're very feminine. You have like a soft touch to you. That's a compliment. I mean that in a good way. And, you know, they're just kind of like, caught off guard by the whole thing. But it's interesting that you say that. This is another that you did. You have a few. I want to actually play a couple because they're great. And if people again want to see this, you need to go to Leia's channel. These are, you'll just be left like, you'll be like, this is what we're dealing with, people in the modern world. All right. This is a series. This is another one from a different location. It's on the beach. Listen to the woman's explanation again of why she doesn't like Andrew Tate. This is at 2:52, Tyler.
Tate. What's your take on Andrew Tate?
Hate him.
Why do you hate him?
I just think he's misogynistic.
Can you define misogyny for me?
It's practically like not thinking that like you're better than women, but thinking that there's like in general, like
there's a man.
See, you're so sweet that you feel bad. I don't even feel bad because I, you know why? Because they like, what business does she have calling somebody misogynist? She doesn't know what that is.
She's 19 years old. Like, and she's 19, you know? And I spoke to her after and she wants to be a boss bitch and she wants to, you know, make her own money and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm kind of coming at it from a perspective of like, you know, I've done a lot and, you know, I'm happy with what I've done. But it's not like the most fulfilling thing in the world. And so I kind of want to like teach them. Like, I feel really sorry for them. I probably was like that at 19. I was probably like that at 20. So I don't know. She's so sweet.
Do you ever have a situation where they get super angry because they realize they've been just caught on camera looking really dumb? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so the fat girl in the original, in the London one that you showed, she was about to hit me. I swear to God, she was about to hit me. Afterwards, she was like, what's this for? And I said, oh, a university project. And then, like, what university did you go to? What are you studying? What are you doing? How long's it go? Like, it was actually like, thank God my brother was there and I was like, I'm leaving. Like, you can deal with the man. I'm gone.
That's like, I'm getting out of there. Yeah. Because you're talking to her and you're like, well, wouldn't you want a guy to like protect you? And she's like, I can protect myself. I can take care of myself. I don't need a man to do that. It's just like all the talking points. And it's just like, it's wild. I mean, it's really wild. So do you feel bad? I'm curious for these women because you feel like the only part of me that feels bad for them is that I feel like they've all been brainwashed. Yeah. Like they've all been just fed these talking points and they just regurgitate them. They don't know what they're saying even. Like, oh, he's a misogynist. Mm-hmm. She can't even define that for you. So you're interesting to me because you're young. How old are you? Do you mind sharing how old you
mid-20s. Are? Mid-20s.
Okay, mid-20s. So you're young. You're a traditional woman. Your behavior is traditional. You're not just saying you're a traditional woman. You're actually living that lifestyle. You believe in traditional gender roles from what I've heard you say. What is it like for you to be like out there in the world dating in 2022 as this person with these values?
So I'm really lucky. I don't have an issue dating. Like, men aren't, oh, she's got a podcast, I don't like it. They're not put off by it. I'm not trying to compete with any man. It's just difficult, not from like a feminism standpoint. It's just difficult because I don't think like men are men anymore. Men aren't really masculine anymore. They're not leaders anymore. The media tries to put men down a lot. There's this whole idea of self-deprecation and it's bad to want to do better. It's bad to want to make more money. It's bad for a man to be ambitious. You know, all these traditional masculine traits are considered toxic, right? Toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. And so, but those traits are traits that I like in a man. So it's very difficult because there's not a lot of men like that. And so I've had this like switch in mentality in the last few years, which was initially, you know, women are the prize, you know, we're the prize, I'm the queen bee, you know, all that crap. But now you realize, well, actually there's a lot of beautiful women. And that's sort of all a woman needs from like a starting point. Okay, she needs to be nice, nurturing, and a bit overall. We can teach her. Just be beautiful and nice first, right? Mm-hmm. But then with the men, they need a lot more. Yeah. And that's very difficult to find, unfortunately. And then also, like, I have a lot of amazing male role models in my life. So that ups the standard even more. Mm-hmm. Like, my brother is the smartest person I know. I'm at a point where, like, I just don't even argue with him. If he says something, then I'm like, okay, yeah. Like, he tells me not to wear much makeup. The eye wings, they're gone. He told me to change my shoes, change the shoes. Because he's just right. Like, I know that he's right. And so I need a man that is as intelligent as him. And that's really difficult because my brother would be considered toxically masculine. Mm-hmm. But he's not. He's absolutely incredible. The best guy I know. Mm-hmm. So it's just difficult because society has brought the bar down for men when women, we need it higher, unfortunately.
What's interesting to me is, you know, I relate a lot to what you're saying, you know, and it doesn't rub me wrong that you say, like, you ask your brother, like, if he says to you, wear less makeup, you just, like, trust him. You're, like, good. And I'm very similar, even though I'm sitting at this big microphone. I know you're a successful business owner. I go home, and I, like, hold up two shirts, and my husband, I'm like, babe, which one? Yeah. He's like, like this one, I'm like, okay, done. Like, I don't even need to like weigh in on it. I don't care. And it's just such a different reality. There are certain women who I believe are just kind of comfortable being feminine. We don't, it's not tyrannical. It's not like we're in our homes and our husbands are like my way or the highway. It's just a natural thing that happens where I'm comfortable just kind of leaning back on a lot of stuff. I just don't care to be head of household in those respects. And what's odd to me is that then there are women who are the opposite, who feel like they need to be the boss babe through and through, who want to be the leader of their house. It's like my way or the highway. And it seems like there's more and more of those women now. Why do you think that is? Is that feminism? Why are there more and more women who feel like they need to be in charge of their men?
I don't think it's natural, firstly. Like, I don't think it's just like we're like this and they're like that. I think the natural way is for a woman to be submissive, but to the right man. Like, I'm not being submissive to any random man out there. Hell no. You know, it needs to be the right man. So there's two problems. The first problem is the fact that like there aren't enough good men out there. By good, I don't mean like, oh, he's a nice guy. I mean like a man on a mission, a man of purpose, a man with integrity. He's strong, he's powerful. You know, that's what women like, right? So there's not enough of that, which I think would break down the woman's barrier and make her be a lot softer and a lot nicer. And then the media is really, really toxic. I just remember growing up, something that I only realized in the last year was a lot of TV shows portray the feminine girl as weak and pathetic. And so I never wanted to be the feminine girl as a kid. Like, I was obsessed with wrestling, you know, I've got brothers, so, you know, I was always like that. But you know, the girl that wears pink and she wears glitter, she's always like falling over and the guys don't like her and she's really stupid and she's not cool. You know, the girl that's celebrated in the movies is the tomboy. They love her. The one that's playing football, she's one of the lads. Like, that's what they like. And so naturally you start to become that. And then as well, you've got the likes of Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, The Stallion. All those people are just empowering women to be disgusting, to twerk, to you know, sleep around. And these are the female leaders that we have, the likes of Cardi B. I mean, it's unbelievable. I was out actually a few weeks ago, and there was a group of us. I need to be careful how I tell the story.
In Miami.
Yeah. Okay. There was a group of us. And I was just like messing around and joking, because I was with somebody who was also like super red pilled. So somebody said to me, Leia, here, take a drink, take a shot. And I was like, whatever he thinks. And then this girl, she comes over, she goes, no, you're a strong, independent woman. You don't need a man to tell you whether you can drink or not. And I was like, no. If you think I should have another drink, I'll have another drink. If you don't think I should, then I won't. I was just like, I'm not playing these games.
How do you get feedback? I mean, I get a lot of hate on this show from modern women. They'll send me messages of like, you know, you're a pick me. You just want guys to like you. I'm like, honey, I'm married. Like, I have a child. Like, I was picked already. I'm happy. But they don't know what to say in terms of responding to actual with content. You know, they listen to my content. They're like, what can I say? So it just becomes about personal attacks and whatnot. I can only imagine if I were saying this content and I were young and I were dating. I mean, I'm sure you must get heat from these women. What does that look like?
I get called a pick me girl a lot, but I don't really care. I'm not I don't really need to be. Like, I have options, thankfully. I'm the problem. I'm the one who doesn't know who I like, and that's so, you know, I'm the issue. But actually, I saw yesterday Myron on Fresh and Fit talking about being a pick me, and he made a really interesting point. He was like, yeah, women should be pick me's. And I was like, damn, yeah, you're right, because there's just not enough men.
Right.
So you should be a bloody pick me. If you're a young girl and you want to fight and you want to secure yourself a high value man, be a bloody pick me. Show him that you are here, you are ready, and you like him, and get on with it, you know? Otherwise, you're going to get, like, women are so competitive. That's also something that I noticed. I didn't even know this. Like, I've just moved to Miami in the last few months. I didn't know that women were competitive like this. So I'm seeing, you know, all these women, we're all between the ages of like, you know, 20 to 30, and everybody's like going after the same man, and like, yeah, it's so competitive. So you need to up your game, you need to do better, you need to look hotter, you need to hit the gym, you need to be all these sorts of things. So yeah, like, I think you should be a pick me if you're trying to secure a good man.
You're saying so many things that I'm literally writing little notes, because there's so many things I want to like offshoot on. One thing that you did say that struck me, and we obviously grew up in different times. I'm 43. I don't know if you know my age. I'm very open about that. But I grew up when it was the Terminator, and I remember I don't know if you've seen these movies, but the first Terminator, she's kind of submissive. And, you know, she's the main character, the Sarah Connor character, is kind of, you know, gentle and she's soft and she kind of needs that guy to protect her. Well, I grew up wanting to be the Sarah Connor from Terminator 2, which is the badass doing the pull-ups. And because I felt like that's what it meant to be a strong woman. And for years, I kind of did that. And I can remember even the way I would hit the gym felt like I was kind of competing with guys, like mentally, even though I didn't process it that way until now, really, I felt like I was in competition to kind of be as strong as these guys. Like that was my job as a woman. You can be just as strong. You can be Sarah Connor from Terminator 2. And it's really just recently that I've gotten really comfortable, and by recently, I mean in the last 5 years, with just kind of like embracing the femininity at large. And what that means is really accepting that physically I'm not as strong. I bring other things to the table. I'm more nurturing. I'm more this, I'm more that. But really understanding these differences between the sexes and owning what makes a woman special and unique and beautiful, that's different from what it means to be a man. But it's interesting that I had that experience and then like 15 years later or however many years later, you kind of had that same experience with film and television and all that. Talk to me a little bit about women. You mentioned something about their nature, what's natural to a woman. So many women now, I think, are living and behaving in a way that's antithetical to their nature. Like, I don't believe that promiscuity is natural to women. And I feel like so many of them are miserable hopping in and out of bed with people. They're doing what they think they should do based on society in 2022, but they're deeply unhappy. Just address that for me a little bit, if you will.
Yeah, this is so true. You know, it's such an interesting topic because growing up, and not enough people come from it, come to this, talk about this from this perspective, but growing up, when I was like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, all the girls were rushing to lose their virginity. They were rushing. And there was a competition, like who slept with the most guys, you know? And you'd be valued more within the female group if you'd slept with more guys. Looking back, it's disgusting and it's sad. And I just think women are in such a rush to grow up. I don't know, it's the media, it's whatever society's telling us. And I think it's really sad. And none of these girls, by the way, are enjoying the sex that they're having at 19, 20, 21. They're not enjoying it. Why? Because they're sleeping with idiots. They're just sleeping with men for the sake of sleeping with men. They're just fucking any guy they meet in a club. It's disgusting. And the reason they're not enjoying it is because they can't, because they're not built that way. You can't enjoy sex with a random man. You can't enjoy sex. He might be so gorgeous. He might be objectively speaking the sexiest man you've ever seen. You're just not going to enjoy having sex with him because there's no emotional connection. And nobody talks about this. The girls are just rushing to sleep with as many men as possible, saying, oh yeah, it was amazing. It was, you know, and I'm like, really? Like I'm speaking to my other friends. I'm like, really? Is she telling the truth? Like, you know, this, you know, and nobody talks about that. It's not until you actually have an emotional connection with somebody that you can, as a woman, enjoy having sex. And so if you're sleeping with all these men and you haven't stopped because you realize like this isn't working and you continue to do that, there's a problem with you. Like how can you distance yourself from that type of physical act? It means you're damaged emotionally, in my opinion. It's personally not something I can do. I'm like, nope, that's not for me. It's just not practical. And I think, you know, you build emotional bonds with people. And if you're not building those bonds, there's just something wrong with you.
Everyone I knew in my life who was comfortable doing that, all the women that were comfortable with the bed hopping and the promiscuity, they were numb in some way. They were either numb from alcohol or drugs or troubled, or they had had something in their past, or there something was wrong with them, because it isn't natural. And none of them were happy. Not one of them, even the ones who would say out loud, like, oh, this is comfortable for me, you know, I don't care. It was very clear to me that then they had to drown themselves in alcohol or antidepressants or something to actually get themselves to a point where they were okay with something that they really weren't okay with at all. I want to ask you about Tate. And I want to also ask you about, like, the way that you feel about the world now in terms of traditional gender roles. First of all, did you always feel that way, or did you come into that
at some point? I've never been a feminist. I've never had an issue with men. My dad is wonderful. I've got a great relationship with my brother. I've got a grandfather. You know, I have a good relationship with men and masculinity. You know, when I was young, like 10 years old, I would see mum and grandma slaving away, cooking for everyone. And I didn't understand. I'm like, why don't you, Dad, why don't you cook, you know? Mm-hmm. Or like when Mum went to visit her parent, my grandparents in the north of England, you know, I was left to cook for everyone. I'm like, well, why can't my brother cook? Like, why do I have to? Now, as you get older, you realize, and it's like, it's okay. It's not a big deal. But I've never been like, I'm not like a reformed feminist or anything like that. No, I'm just more enlightened now, I'd say.
Do you feel, where did you grow up?
London.
Okay, so, and when did you move here? Just a few years ago, you said?
I moved officially in June, but I've been backwards and forwards since, for a year now, I've been backwards and forwards.
Okay, so do you feel like there's a big discrepancy between London and, say, Miami in terms of these traditional gender roles? Like, or what we're saying right now, would that be outlandish in London? Like,
yes. Okay. Oh my God, London is so woke. It's unbelievable.
So, more so than here?
Yes. Well, America is the heart of wokeism, right? Mm. But it's infected England and it's infected London, and London is just so woke. I mean, that video was done in London, and that's not, and that is a correct representation of the man on the street, of the people that are in London. Okay. Unfortunately, you know, my views on like traditional gender roles are like, that's not one niche which I have a weird view on, right? I have a strange view on a lot of different things. And as a result, I lost all my friends in London. Like, they don't like me. I posted something about Roe versus Wade and the fact that it was overturned, because a lot of women kept saying, they're forcing us to have children. No, they're not. They're just, no one's forcing you to get pregnant. We're just saying, like, if you don't want to have kids, then, you know, close your legs. And I tweeted something like that. And a lot of girls that I went to school with, they DM'd me saying, I'm embarrassed to know you. You know, you've gone too far. You're a terrible person. And, you know, that's just what I get. So I get a lot of hate from people in London. Miami, on the other hand, of course you have this promiscuous lifestyle here. However, I don't really think that, like, that's all that Miami offers. You know, I certainly don't take part in any of that. That clubbing scene, like, that's not what I do. Miami offers a lot of amazing other things, whether it's like-minded people, freedom-minded people, entrepreneurship, you know, keeping fit, going on a bike ride, enjoying the weather, the sea. So it offers that as well. So London is so woke. It's truly unbelievable how woke it is. Yeah, like I said, I lost tons of friends because none of them like my mentality. They don't like the way I see the world. And I actually have a female group of friends here. They're all super based. One girl brought out the Bible. You know what the Bible was? It was a book from the 1960s, which was How to Be a Traditional Wife. If you brought this to my friends in London, like, we would, like, you'd be kicked right out, you know? So
yeah. I mean, I'm glad to hear you saying what you're saying. I've often said, you know, I'm very open about, you know, my life with the audience. And I always say, like, I never had a one night stand. I never engaged in all that. I did marry late, whole other story. But, you know, I never engaged in hookup culture or any of that stuff. And I always feel like a relic. I'm like, well, maybe it's just because I'm old, you know, but hearing you and see that there are young women who are living that way, despite the fact that it may not be the popular way to live in 2022, I think is very important for other young women who are dating right now to hear and to see reflected. I'm curious about, so many questions. I'm curious about the Andrew Tate angle. I don't know him personally. I know you do know him personally. You've had some face-to-face time with him. What sparked the interest in interviewing him initially? And what sparks the interest in the coverage in terms of trying to get to the core of how people on the street feel about him in particular? Why him?
Yeah, so I met him 3 years ago. I met him actually through my boyfriend at the time. People think that I went to be like groomed or to be like to get a free ride. I'm like, no, like I was just happened to be in Romania with my boyfriend at the time, and we all went out for dinner. It was me, my boyfriend, my ex at the time, obviously, and Andrew and his wife, which he called her, and. You know, great guy. Mm-hmm. No issue. He's super based. We're talking about COVID and the lockdowns, and he's talking about the mask. I'm like, yeah, this guy's cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And then just a great conversation. I just like speaking to like-minded people. And then we all met up again. We went to his house, and it was just nice. Like, no issue. Just a cool guy, you know, just somebody that you'd want to be friends with. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I have a podcast. So I was like, hey, why don't you come on my podcast?
So you weren't thinking like, this is going to be like a crazy interview that's going to go viral. No. You were just like, hey, I want to talk to he seems cool. Like,
well, I was supposed to interview him actually in May 2021. That's when I first asked him. And we were supposed to do it over Zoom or something like that. So that's what I mean. I didn't really think much of it. I'm like, oh, I just like him. He's cool. Come on my show. I just dropped him a message. And then it didn't work out. And then I was in Miami at Christmas last year. And then he just messaged me like, hey, let's do a podcast tomorrow. And I was like, oh, you're here? Great. You know? Yeah. So we did a podcast. And one annoying thing about that podcast is the camera angle. That really bothered me because you know, it was Andrew's setup. So it was his camera guy. It was everything. I went to his place. Everything was his setup. And, you know, I don't know. That was like one of the first in-person interviews I did for my podcast. So it didn't occur to me, production, check how you look, da 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 da. So his damn camera guy upskirts me, films up my bloody skirt.
I didn't notice that.
You must have noticed. Everybody noticed. It has the big blur on my legs.
I don't even know if I noticed. I'm going to be honest with you. Really? Because you were asking, it was one of the first interviews that I watched where I was really watching more long form content. Mm. And I just really enjoyed like the dynamic. It was clear to me that you went in without an agenda. He was being what I thought was pretty candid in the exchange. So I didn't even notice that.
Well, that was one of the biggest comments. It was like, ugh, women don't know how to dress these days. They're disgusting. And I'm like, Andrew, like, you need to tell your camera guy to sort himself out because I may not upload this, you know?
But it's okay. I may not upload it.
I know. I was like, I'm going to go through and blur out my legs. But
I love it.
I didn't expect it to blow up. I really didn't. I thought it would like cap out at around 30,000 views, genuinely. And then Andrew starts blowing up everywhere. And I'm like, oh, damn, dude. Well done.
Yeah,
like,
the timing of it was actually great. I know. He became of interest to me. When I first started in this industry, people were sending me a lot of, you know, information, and they sent me a bunch of shorts. I don't know. It had to be like over 100, and I'm listening and I'm like, who is this guy? Yeah. You know, what is he? And at first, my reaction was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Because I had spent so much of my career defending good quality men. Mm. And people were like, this guy doesn't care about women. I'm like, wait a minute, you're harming this cause. We're supposed to be united on this front. That was my initial reaction. Then I watched a bunch of long form content, particularly when he came out with the final message and I saw that he had been censored. Anyone who's being censored becomes really interesting to me because now I know that you're saying something that's probably good and beneficial to society. The second the powers that be want to censor you, I'm like, oh, so you're on the right team.
Exactly.
So that was interesting to me, and I've learned quite a bit about him. And I think he's a very different person in his long form content than he is in his, you know, these shorts that pop out. That could be said probably for all of us. And I happen to think he's very good for men in many respects. I think it's very much needed when you look around and you see how many weak men there are right now, how many unmotivated men. What I love is that he's really tough on men. Mm-hmm. People think he's tough on women, but he's really tough on men. He's like, you know, get off your ass, get your shit together, get in the gym. That's an important message that men need to be hearing. What do you think bothers guys about him? Like the guys that are bothered by him, what do you think it is? Are they just insecure? Are they mad that somebody's telling them to get off their ass? Are they lazy? Are they brainwashed? Are they wearing like feminist power t-shirts in their house? What is it?
I mean, well, firstly, I agree with you. I think Andrew is amazing for men. I think that, you know, right now there are no male role models. Of course, there's Jordan Peterson, who's amazing, but he's not going to relate to the young boys. Jordan Peterson is the typical, you know, man in a suit. He's a professor. It doesn't, you know, relate or empower the young men. So I think he's absolutely amazing. The tons of messages that I've received from young boys just saying, thank you so much for supporting him. He's saved my life. He's done all these amazing things. And I think he might be extreme to some standards. However, he's allowing the pendulum to move the other way. Mm-hmm. Like society went so the other way. It went so liberal and so woke that we actually need a crazy character like Andrew to bring us back to normality. And I think even he would admit that hopefully men will sort of end somewhere in the middle, more to his side, obviously, but end somewhere in the middle. I think men that don't like Andrew are massively defeated. I think they're insecure, and I think it's because they know they can never be him. They just can't be him. You know, whether it's because they've passed, you know, he's 35, 36, whether it's because, you know, they're too old now, or whether it's because they're lazy, or whether it's because they don't have his height, they don't have his stamina, they don't have his physique, or whatever it is, or they don't have a brother like, you know, Tristan, or whatever it is. I think men just don't like him because they don't want to put in the effort. And then at the same time, it's the male feminist thing. So it's male feminists, in my opinion, are really dangerous mm-hmm. because these are the men who are trying to blindside you as a woman. They're the ones that are trying to like sneak in, you know? Mm-hmm. Some of the interviews that I did, you have men saying to me, oh, it's okay about a woman's body count. I'm like, don't lie. You're lying to me because I'm a woman. And you probably hope something could happen between us. You know, maybe like I get your not, you know, you get my number afterwards. No, like that's why they're lying to you, because, you know, they want to like get in your pants, basically. I think a man who knows his value and knows that his value can increase is a man that's going to be on the same page as Andrew. Mm-hmm. That's how I would put it.
Male feminists sometimes.
Oh, disgusting.
The ones that identify themselves as male feminists in particular say some of the worst comments to women. I find them to be so condescending. They infantilize women. And it's fascinating to me because they wear this badge of saying, I'm pro-woman. And then they behave so badly oftentimes toward women. They excuse bad female behavior. They justify bad female behavior. It's amazing. Oftentimes those are like the pro-abortion guys, ugh. You know, more promiscuity, usually on the hard left, let's be honest. It's just a fascinating dynamic. I want to show this. Yeah, go ahead.
Just on that point, it's completely true. You know, male feminists will call me a pick me. Male, if I say yes. something which is regardless of traditional gender roles, like if I just say something like COVID's a scam, don't get vaccinated, you know, they're going to be saying, because I'm a woman, they'll say, you're just saying this to get followers. You're just saying right. this. And I'm like, oh, so now a woman can't have an independent opinion.
Right.
That's not very feminist mm-hmm. of you. If you are a true feminist, you would allow me as a woman to think however I like.
Right.
So be it. It's in line with what most men think. Great. Good for me.
Well, that's the way the left operates. Exactly. I mean, I don't know. I know a little bit about your politics, yeah. but it's the same way that you have the pro-abortion movement exactly. from women on the left. They will exclude pro-lifers from the supposed feminist movement. Oh, you're pro-life. You can't be part of a pro-woman movement. And people are like, well, then this is all politicized.
Yeah.
This isn't about, you know, being an empowered woman. This is a bunch of nonsense. I want to show this clip. I'm going to talk about the Tate banning as well, because I think that's interesting. But I want to show this clip about... This is from the Woman on the Street series about selective equality. Tyler, do you have that one? Did I indicate?
The short?
Yes, it's a short.
Yep.
This is about selective equality, and I love this topic. Let's play it, and then we'll talk about it.
I came to sort of lead and maybe pay for you.
I'm now like 50-50.
You don't want a man to look after you and provide for you?
No, I want my own job.
So since we're all equal, and say you're on a date with a guy and another man comes and tries to like slap your bum, what would you expect your man to do?
He should like stick up for it.
Why? Now he's putting himself in the firing line.
Yeah.
But we're equal. Why don't you put yourself in the firing line? But only equal when it comes to buying dinner.
No.
Oh my God. You don't understand how awkward that was. The whole thing.
Her response. She's like, no.
And then the other girl goes, I think we should go to the pub now. I'm like, yeah, babe, you go drink.
But this is an important, I'm glad you captured this moment, because yeah. you'll often hear women say, we want to be equal yeah. until it's inconvenient to have that equality. And then they suddenly want the masculine man. It's like everybody wants equality until there's trouble in their neighborhood and they need that strong, tough yeah. guy to show up and fix everything. And you captured that beautifully in that clip. What happened after, like you're saying that they ran to the pub and that was it. But when you're having that exchange, I mean, I can feel her discomfort from here. It must be insane.
It's so uncomfortable. The whole thing is incredibly uncomfortable. I can't even explain it to you. You know, like I said, they think I'm on their side. And yeah. then when I start asking friendly questions, it's the way I ask it as well. It's like, so what do you think about this? So should a man stick up for you? Then, you know, they don't know how to deal with it. But selective equality is so true, because we are only equal until we don't want to be equal anymore. It's, you know, it's the men who go to war first. It's the men who have to fight the tyranny. It's, you know, it's the men who are doing all these things. You know, it's the men who are building the very infrastructure which we walk on. You know, I was walking on Brickell Quay the other day and I saw these men hanging from these frames in the air, whatever, these cranes. They're putting these windows on, and I saw one man trying to like hang out the window to grab the window. And it's the men that are doing that. It's not the women. men create the infrastructure that the boss bitch can then sit out on and go, I'm a boss bitch, but who put you there? It was the man. The man created the chair, the floor, the levels, the, you know? And if you, you know, we always want more female CEOs, but nobody wants more female bin men. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants more female plumbers. Mm-hmm. I did a tweet the other day, not the other day, like a year ago actually, which was like, we need more female plumbers. We need equality. And the world has gone so mad that people actually thought I was being serious. It was absolute satire. I don't want to be a plumber, you know? So the world has gone absolutely crazy, and yeah, it is selective equality. You know, it's the man that's going to run into the burning building. It's mm-hmm. the, you know, you're going to call the men when, you know, when somebody comes and robs your house. So women don't want to do this.
What do you say to people who look at you, you're super successful, right? You're running a business, you do a lot of appearances related to crypto. You're sitting here, you have a platform. They'll look at you and the judgment will be made about you that, oh, well, sure, she's saying all this stuff about traditional values, but look at her. She's a successful young woman. She's working. She's making her own money. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I totally understand it and I get it and I respect it. My simple reaction is nobody's going to save you but you. So I have a very hard mentality, which is, you know, I can't rely on the government. I can't rely on my dad. I can't rely on anyone to provide for me. You know, I don't come from money. Maybe if I was super bloody rich, then, you know, I'd be chilling, you know, but I'm not. Like, how do I survive? Like, I don't like where I come from. I come from a little town just outside of London. There's no men there that I like. There's no women that I want to be friends with. The roads are depressing. The architecture is depressing. So what do I do? Do I just wait to be saved? No, I'm wasting my life just sitting there. So shit, like, I need to make some money so I can get out and live the kind of life that I want to live. Okay, so now I've made some money. I can be in Miami where I have access to better men, better women, better conversations like this. And, you know, I say very honestly, like, at the end of the day, I don't do it to be a boss bitch or anything like that. And I don't even consider myself as a boss bitch. I just want to see a better world. And it didn't start with traditional gender roles. It started with freedom. I'm very pro mm-hmm. Bitcoin and everything that encompasses. And I want to see a better world. And it's more of a mission. And I hope, like, my ideal scenario is to meet a man that I can look up to and I can respect. And I think the world of him. That would be amazing. And, you know, he can then continue our mission. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to be out on the front line. He can be out on the front line. I'll be home with the kids, but knowing that, like, something which I care about, which is creating a better world, mm-hmm. creating, you know, empowering freedom, empowering men to be men, women to be women, because I think that's how people are happiest. Knowing that my husband is pushing that narrative forward is enough for me. But mm-hmm. ultimately, you know, like I said, I don't come from money. So what do you want me to do? Stay where I come from? Where I come from really is so depressing. It's not depressing. It's just, it's not beautiful. Like, the streets are just awful. Mm-hmm. There's woke people everywhere. You know, I had this conversation with my friend, and I'm like, okay, men, high value men say women shouldn't get a job and, like, women should just be at home. I'm like, okay, but now you don't know who I am because I have no platform and I'm stuck in this shitty suburb just outside mm-hmm. of London. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, put my ass out there mm-hmm. or get an OnlyFans? Is that how you'll recognize me? No.
Yeah, it's also a very challenging time in the world, I think too. I think if your eyes are open to the infringements on people's freedoms and on people's liberties and, you know, it's a time where a personal responsibility, self-sufficiency, you know, money is freedom message hits a lot of people. So I completely understand where you're coming from and what you're saying. And I think you've explained, you know, pretty well, you know, how you feel about it in terms of if you did get married, you would want to fulfill those traditional roles, but you're not married today. And people do. And I always say that, you know, to the people in the red pill community and whatnot. I know it's not a community, Rolo, if you're watching. I know it's not a community per se, but some of them consider themselves to be in a community. And I always say, you know, there's a period in a woman's life where she does have to pay bills. Like, not everyone's going to be able to live with mom and dad. Not everyone's mom and dad has money, you know, and you want to be self-sufficient. You want to be able to take care of yourself. That's an important
thing. But on that point, my friend was saying, she was like, you know, I want to get a job. I want to do all these things. And I'm like, let me tell you, it's really not that empowering paying your own bills. Like, okay, I pay my own bills. Like, wow, I pay my own bills. Who cares? Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'd rather a man pay my bills. I don't care. But, like, I need to eat. Mm-hmm. I want to live in a beautiful place. So, you know, I just have to do the best that I can with what I've got.
What's interesting to me about your story is that you came to Miami. Yeah. And one of the things that was really hard for me growing up, I grew up in Staten Island, which is outside of It's like kind of like, think of Jersey Shore or something. Vinny from the Jersey Shore is from Staten Island. It's outside of Manhattan. And one of the big obstacles for me is that I was this very traditional woman, was not engaged in hookup culture, was not interested in promiscuity, and I was in Manhattan. And it was a nightmare. I didn't like the guys there. I felt like they, you know, were prioritizing the wrong things. There was a lot of drugs. There was a lot of alcohol. There was just a lot of bad behavior. And I always say, if I had picked up at that point and left and moved to a small town in Texas, I probably would have had a completely different life. But I didn't want to leave my family because that was where my family was. And for me, I had a lot of attachment to growing up in New York and all that stuff. And you know, for you, you had these traditional values, and I know that I get a sense, a very clear sense of the kind of man you would want. And you're in a city where I don't know if Miami would be the best place to find that guy. So talk to me a little bit about your mindset. I know Miami's beautiful, but are there a lot of guys in Miami that are that traditional masculine, you know, guy, gentleman? Is that what you're seeing?
So it's a great question. And okay, here's the thing. I think Miami is, despite what everybody says, I think Miami is good for dating if you are a good person yourself. Okay. So where I come from, there's nothing, right? There's nothing. They're all like in the Matrix, 9-to-5ers, that, you know, they're not strong men. They're just not, okay? At least in Miami, you have, the bar is high. Like, you have a very good starting point, okay? I'm not meeting men in clubs. I don't go to clubs. I think the last time I went to a club was with Adam Sosnick back in. It was his place. It was his club. It was a bodega. Okay. So yeah, we went out. It was fun. That was back in like August. But I think, yeah, I don't go to clubs. So I'm not like looking for men in clubs, right? So I think in Miami, you have a really good baseline, which is people that want to do good in life, people that want to make money, people ambition, that want to be entrepreneurs, people that want to look good. You know, that's a really nice baseline to start with. Where I come from, you don't have that. And the men are more masculine and more traditional here. I think as well, with everything that's going on in the world, people are gravitating to Florida because of their freedom mindset. It's better for taxes. So I actually do feel like I'm in the perfect spot to meet someone. Like, I know a lot of really great guys here. No one has like really fully... There's nobody fully that I've been like, okay, wow, you're the one. But like, I've met like some really nice men who would be amazing for some people. And that's so much more luck than I've had in London, right? So I think it's a great starting point. You know, if I was a hoe, okay, then I'm a hoe and I there's plenty of men to go and hoe with, right? But I'm not. And so I'm attracting what I am. Mm-hmm. And so I think here is a really great place, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's a good point about, you know, I was talking about New York. New York is super blue, has always been super blue. But right now, Miami, Florida, thanks to DeSantis, in my view, is largely a hub of freedom. This is the place that stood up to the mandates, the vax mandates, the mask mandates, you know, stood up for kids in schools, is standing against woke agendas in schools when it comes to, you know, DeSantis is just like, hey, a man's a man, a woman is a woman. I'm not going to be bullied into saying that that's not the case. So, and now he's standing up to the World Economic Forum. We showed a video of that the other day. So bravo, Ron. I love that.
Amazing. I love him.
No one else is doing that. All these GOP governors are asleep at the wheel as usual, except for him. So I think that's a fair point to make.
Yeah.
I always say that I'm kind of like, you know, I like the country guy sometimes,
so
because I feel like the value system there is just a little bit richer. But I do see why Miami right now, for someone like you, who's very strong on the issues of freedom and personal responsibility, I do see why in this particular moment that would absolutely be a draw. Tyler, do you have chats for us to check in on right now, or do you want me to come back to you?
Come back.
Okay. Tyler's asleep at the wheel. Just kidding, Tyler. You know we love you.
No, it's a really active chat.
We can come back to you if that's a bit easier. I can do one more and then
I'm
come back.
Okay.
Yes, please. Jennifer Aniston, I don't know if you saw this, did an interview with Allure magazine, and she talked a lot about her fertility struggles in that. Do you know Jennifer Aniston a bit about her? She was in Friends.
I know her.
Okay,
yeah,
so there she is. She did this interview, and this is what she says. It's an interesting conversation about fertility and just the waiting game and how so many women delay this process of having children and whatnot. She says, I would say my late 30s, 40s, I'd gone through a really hard shit. And if it wasn't for going through that, I would have never become who I was meant to be. I was trying to get pregnant. It was a challenging road for me, the baby making road. She says she was going through IVF, drinking Chinese teas, you name it. And she said she wishes someone had told her to freeze her eggs, do yourself a favor. She apparently did not go that route. So, and this is a really important message. Number one, I think it's really concerning that so many women who know that they want a family, who know that they want a husband, are intentionally delaying that process. They're not open and saying, I'm just like not meeting the perfect guy. They're intentionally saying, I'm going to make my 20s not about that. I'm going to make it about career. I'm going to make it about hookup culture. 100%.
They're actively delaying it. You think women are actively delaying it?
Actively delaying it. Actively.
That's so sad. I don't understand.
Yeah. You don't have that experience of interacting with women who say that?
No, I have actually not met a woman who's actively delaying.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I hear from women all the time. And I even, you know, 10 years ago in New York City, was close with women who were saying, I'm going to make my 20s about me. Oh, wow. This is about my self-discovery. This is about my financial gain. This is about living and learning and hookup culture. And I want to be out there. And essentially the line that's given is, I want to be selfish right now. This is my time to be selfish. But they know they ultimately want a husband and a family. And I'm always sitting there saying, if you know that's where you want to wind up, why are you wasting your most fertile, most attractive? You're at the peak of everything in your 20s, you know, your body, you know, everything. Why would you waste that if you ultimately know you're going to land there? And I'm concerned about this new culture of, don't worry, just freeze your eggs. Yeah. Freezing your eggs isn't a guarantee. It comes with its own set of complications. It's a medical procedure. And it's also another delay, delay, delay. I mean, does this concern you, this new trend among women to just push that out to, by choice, to late 30s and 40s? Like, that happened. That's how it worked out for me, but that wasn't my intention. I wasn't sitting and saying, oh no, I'm closed off. I'm going to wait. I want this to happen when I'm 40 years old. Very bizarre train of thought.
The idea of freezing your eggs just makes me feel a little bit sick. Like, I don't mean to be offensive to anyone. If you need to, do it, of course. But like, it just makes me feel really uncomfortable. Just because of the procedure itself, it just like, it makes my tummy turn a little bit. I was out for dinner with a girl the other night and she told me she was freezing her eggs. She's 29. And I was like, why are you freezing your
29?
Eggs?
29, why?
I'm like, why are you freezing your eggs? And she's like, just in case. And she's super trad, like she wants to get married now. And she just met somebody, which is amazing. But I'm like, why? She's like, just in case. So she's freezing her eggs because like she feels like she's, in case she doesn't meet somebody. She's like, are you not gonna do that? And I was like, no. Like, I have no plans to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I am actively dating, actively looking to find somebody, and I'd like to have a child and be married by like 29, 30, please God, you know? God willing, I'm not even religious, but you know, that's what I would like. So this whole thing about freezing your eggs is so weird. It's like the backup plan. The fact that you're giving yourself a backup plan means plan A, you're not that serious about, right?
But you can, I mean, as someone who's plugged into the matrix, you can understand why this is great for pharma.
Well, companies are doing it. So I actually thought it was revolting. I saw like these big companies are now offering their female staff, they'll pay to freeze their eggs. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. You're like stealing them. You're like trying to keep them locked in so they can forever serve you, the boss, the CEO, rather than serving their husband. It's so weird because also it's celebrated. It's like, wow, look at these beautiful corporations. They're allowing women to freeze eggs. No, they're trying to make women a slave for longer and longer and longer. And what upsets me is, like I said, I've done a lot by 20s. Like I've done a lot and it's like not that fulfilling. I don't really care. I'm just happy that I have freedom and that's all I need to then do what I want. And I'd speak to like those 19 year olds on the street and they want to be a boss bitch. And I'm like, I feel sad because I'm like, babe, like that's not going to fulfill you. Mm-hmm. Like, stop now.
Yeah.
Get a nice job, make a little bit of money, search for a man because that's what's going to fulfill you. But then also the weird part is with this whole thing is like when you are like 17 to 23, you don't really want anything serious. Like that's not, I don't know why. It's not really what most women don't. It kind of changes when you hit 25.
See, that's what I think has changed in the last 15 years. Because when I was younger, there were a lot of, like, I remember, you know, I had a first boyfriend at like 19, honestly. I was crazy about him. Had he not been not such a nice guy, ultimately, I would have been content to be like, okay, one and done, you know. And there were a lot of women then at that time period that I think were looking at those years differently. Now I think you're right. Yes. I think there's this perception of just like, I'll get serious about this stuff when I'm like 25 and beyond. But that like college years and just post-college years. And I think it's because it's self-exploratory. It's like, oh, this is my me time.
But do you know what it also is? It's when you're that young, a man 10 years older than you is terrifying. So when I was 20, a man who's 30 would terrify me. Mm. When I was 19, a man that's 29 would terrify me.
I didn't have that problem.
It scared me so much. Like, so when I was 19, I'd date guys that were like 25, and that's actually very young for a man. So you're wondering like, why is he not being serious with me? I really like him. Because he's 25. If you want something serious, you need to go for like 30 plus, right? But actually, like, that genuinely would terrify me. When I was 18, I went on a couple of dates with a guy that was 26, and it terrified me. And like, also, I didn't think my dad would approve either. So like, you know, what does a 26-year-old want with an 18-year-old, you know?
Right.
So like, there's also that. I was also like, I'd be afraid as well to date much older because of my dad. Like, you know, when he comes and picks me up, who's this man picking up my my 17, 18-year-old daughter, you know? So I was always dating like 3-4 years older than me. Right. And then they wouldn't take me seriously because of them, because they're still in their mid-20s. So there's that weird dynamic as well, which is very strange. I feel like men take me seriously now. In mid-20s, men take me seriously. I don't think a man took me seriously until I was like 24. Because I wasn't dating old enough. When I was 23, maybe I was dating like 27, and you know, he's only 27.
I think that's a sign of the times. That's something that has shifted that we would have to probably think about more. It's interesting because there are so many parallels between when I was, you know, 25 and then what you're living right now. And then there's some shifts that I'm like, oh, that has changed. That's a little bit different. Tyler, are you good for us now?
There was a pretty interesting comment earlier. Somebody said we need more female plumbers because it'd be a lot easier to look at plumber's crack.
That's true though. Like, damn, that plumber's crack, that is not. I think I'd rather look at a woman than a man.
Exactly. Cassie said, I'm delaying it, having children. Said, I'm delaying it in my 20s, but it was because I saw the struggle of those who can't afford kids in their 20s.
Well, okay. Then go find a rich man. Like, let's just be like factual and realistic about it. You know,
like someone who provides that financial stability so that it's
Zentience gave $50. Said, speaking of being selfish in the 20s and beating the buzzer by getting married and pregnant by 30, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Why should men whom are worthy choose a woman who are solipsistic? Wives and mothers are a verb, not a noun.
Based on your actions, not just the fact that. Is that what he's saying there?
I don't understand.
So he's saying, if you didn't plan in your 20s to get married and pregnant by 30, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Why should men who are worthy choose a woman?
Right.
Yeah.
So why should a high-value man pick a woman who's just being selfish? Yeah, he doesn't have to. He can have whatever he wants.
Well, that's the thing. If you really, as a guy, if you've done the work, and it's hard. Listen, it's hard to be that. I don't know if you like that term, high value. Some people hate it. Some people love it. But we all know what we're talking about when we say that. But that's hard work. That's, you know, financial stability. That's being the protector. That's being, stoic, being in charge of your emotions, being someone a woman can lean on, having your shit together, essentially, across the board. That's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I mean,
so if you've managed to do that, you will have options, you know, and that's just a reality.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, the most attractive thing in a man, I think, I know if I'm going to marry a man, if I can put my life in his hands. And that's a big deal. Right. And a man needs to do a lot of work in order to have a woman feel like she can put her life in his hands, you know, whether it's because he's mentally on it, he's physically able to protect you. And I think, you know, decades ago, a long time ago, being physically the man was very, very important. You know, you need to go out there and physically protect her, physically bring back the food.
Yep.
But now it's about mentally being the man as well.
That's right.
And I think that's why Andrew Tate becomes so successful and is able to do what he wants, because he's there. Like, he knows what the fuck is happening. And that's so important. And unfortunately, not a lot of men understand what's happening. Like, I find it really difficult to, I find it very hard to, like, marry a man that's vaccinated, because I'm not, and I worked really hard to make sure that I'm not. And how can I put my life in his hands if he did that? Because to me, it's like you're not aware. You got misled. Like, if I'm not misled, why did you get misled?
Right. In other words, you didn't look at the stats, you didn't do the research, yeah. You bought the story, maybe you're a puppet of the system. Yeah. I get it. I get where you're going with that. Please, yeah. I got thrown off network television because I wouldn't get that. So let's just, you know, that's a whole separate story. I want to ask you about the body count, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Matrix. But when I watch these videos of these young women, usually they're in their early 20s, and they're just talking about body count like it's, oh, yeah, I don't know, my body count is 15, 20. Some of them will be like, oh, 25. I don't remember. Some of them are juggling multiple partners. They can't even. Christ. I'm actually horrified. Like, I have a physical reaction of where I actually get nauseated because I can't believe that women have fallen so much in society, and I can't believe that they took the bait, that that was somehow healthy for them, that that was the sign of an empowered woman. Do you hear... You're young, you're out, you're in the scene. Do you hear women talking about this stuff like that? Is that the new norm? Women being proud of this promiscuity to such a level that they somehow think it's not going to be frowned upon by a guy if they say, oh, I don't know, my body count's 15 or 20, I can't remember? Is that a reality?
Firstly, I'm not surprised that women have fallen for this. I think women are really malleable. I think women are agreeable. I think women are soft. And so, yeah, when propaganda comes, women are the first to fall. I think it's the men's fault, really, for not upholding reality. But that's another story. To be honest, I'm not even in the scene anymore. But when I was, when I had all those friends back in London, like I said, yeah, women are proud. The more men you sleep with, the better. When I was at university, I was 18 and I need to not say her name. This girl came to live with us and she came to the dorm and she'd already slept with 7 men by the age of 18. She was bringing them back every night. And I would actually count. I'd be like, okay, 13, 14, 15, 16. I know. She'd bring them back every night. And there definitely was. And then another girl was like, yeah, I slept with this guy tonight. There's a lot of competition to like bring back a man. And I don't really know why it's such a reward if a woman has sex, because it's not that difficult to get laid as a woman. So I don't know why, there's such a reward for it. Right. But yeah. And like I said earlier, when I was younger, women were competing to lose their virginity. I had friends who were like, I don't want to go to university a virgin. You know, it's what they didn't want to do. Mm. I lived with a girl who was a virgin and she was just dying to lose it. She just wanted to get rid of it. And it was like this thing in the house. Like, you know, she really wanted to lose it. And looking back, it's kind of sad, you know. Why not just be like, wow, like I still have this. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this makes me unique. It makes me high value. But women don't know because men aren't teaching them. It's the men who teach the women. It's the men that lead the women, and men aren't teaching them. The fathers don't know. My dad's amazing, but he's not red-pilled. He doesn't know this stuff, right? But my brother's red-pilled. I think it's a sign of the times, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So as my brother would teach me this stuff, I now have access to the internet. I'm naturally an open-minded person. And so I have all this information in front of me and I can come to a new conclusion. But right. As a young girl, what on earth do you know? You don't know anything. Mm-hmm. You just don't.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into, just quickly as the last topic, a bit about the Matrix, because I think it ties in with the banning of Andrew Tate. And when he got banned, I was really curious as to why, because I had watched his videos and I could say, oh, okay, I see how some people might not like what he said about dating. But at the end of the day, like, that's his relationship that he's going to have with a woman. Who cares? Like, as long as it's consensual, no one's getting hurt. That's up to you, kiddo. Like, do what you want. As long as you guys are happy, I'm happy for you. So I said, that can't be it. And then I really started digging and listening to some of his content about the Matrix and about the system. And I had been talking for years about, you know, the collusion of big government and big pharma and all the bigs and how they're out to get the little guy. And suddenly it became, oh, this guy's being banned because he's talking about freedom and personal responsibility and all these values that the folks at the top, like the World Economic Forum and all these places, are trying to squash. When you look at components of the Matrix, and I know you're someone who does believe in that to an extent, what do you think the biggest threat is, and why do you think Tate got banned?
He got banned because he was empowering people to be better. In order to keep people inside the Matrix, they need to be dependent. How do we make people dependent? Well, we make them weak. We make them poor by printing more money. And we give them terrible food, whether it's bugs instead of meat. We tell them to be vegan and all this stuff. So he got banned because he was empowering people to leave the Matrix and waking them up to reality. You know, I think the 9-to-5 doesn't work anymore. I think it's one of the most dangerous things you can have. Having one form of income is just your one step away from poverty. In my opinion.
That's right.
And so Andrew was waking people up. You know, I speak to a lot of people, and a lot of young guys love him so much because he's telling them, like, it's okay what you're feeling. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be competitive. You know, he's teaching them how to make money online, how to basically become independent.
Right.
You know, because when you can make money online and, you know, you're independent and you have multiple forms of income, you can live anywhere in the world. And so you're not subject to any tyrannical jurisdiction. You don't like the mandates in New York? Don't worry, you can go down to Miami. You don't like it in London? Don't worry, you can go to Dubai.
That's right.
You can do what you want and you can become free. And so of course they banned him. And let's be clear, they didn't ban him because of his so-called misogyny. You have porn online.
Yeah.
You have terrorists online. Bloody Balenciaga, I don't know if you saw that. I didn't even know who they were. They have an advert campaign dedicated to kiddie porn. Mm-hmm. Bella Hadid promoting kiddie porn. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. That's all okay. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to actual injustices like printing money, which pushes people further into poverty, forcing them to take medicines that they just don't want to take for whatever personal reason, silence. Mm-hmm. And because we need to be distracted by these pathetic, revolting, satanic things so that people remain in the matrix. Mm-hmm. And that's part of my mission. I can't be with someone who doesn't understand what the hell is going on.
I completely agree. And I think these times call for, you just have to be with a like-minded person, because the world is changing so drastically that you have to be with someone who has their eyes open to the realities of what happened. If they have their eyes closed and they want to live in the darkness, fine, let them find somebody else who lives in the darkness. But it's impossible for one person to be aware of what's going on and to be with somebody who's just like, oh, what's the next thing the Matrix wants me to swallow? Gulp and just swallow it down. It's impossible.
Especially if you want to be a submissive woman, right? You want to be a submissive
wife. You're going to sit back and listen to some guy who's like, oh, whatever Bill Gates tells me to do, I'm down. You're right. And I thought about that when you were talking about Andrew Tate. I said, you know, think about when you're trying to decide, make a decision about somebody, think about the people who would hate them. Like Bill Gates would hate Andrew Tate. Klaus Schwab would hate Andrew Tate. Modern feminists who are encouraging, you know, women to be promiscuous and obese and get as many abortions as possible would hate Andrew Tate. So, you know, it's not a bad roster of people to have hating you. I'm just saying, I wouldn't be upset if those people didn't like me. I just want to do one last check-in in the chat.
Rolo's in the chat.
Hello, Rolo.
Rolo gave $10.
So. Thank you, Rolo. I'm going to buy something real nice with that, just saying. Go ahead.
Rolo asked, Jed, would your advice to Leia be to focus on herself until she's 38 to marry and wait until 40 to have a child?
He's talking about my life. That's not what I did, Rolo. My advice to you truly would be, if you really, and you sound like someone who, if you care, I mean, Rolo's asking me to give you advice. I don't think you're asking me for advice, but
no,
I would always say that if, you know, you seem like someone who really does know what they want in terms of, you know, marriage and kids and all that. And if that is something that's a priority to you, I would always say, keep that at the top. That doesn't mean, I understand you need to sustain yourself. I love that you care about freedom and you care about personal responsibility. And I love that you're in a position where you're like, somebody has to pay my bills and that should be me right now, you know. But I also love that you're okay with leaning on the right guy.
That if
you find the right guy that you can trust and who has that similar mind and
you have
confidence in, that you're gonna, I love that.
Because that's
such a beautiful thing. I would say just don't lose sight of that priority, because it's so easy for time to pass. And even though I was always somebody who was comfortable kind of leaning back. I taught for years. I loved having that flexibility of schedule. I was never somebody who wanted to be a CEO. I didn't want to climb a corporate ladder. Oh. But I got lost in the time, and time just flies. And suddenly you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm 32. What happened? I was just 22. And it happens really quickly from late 20s to like early 30s. So I would say, if that marriage and that family and that structure is your priority, always keep it at the top.
Yeah.
And you can do other things, you know, absolutely, but always remember that and keep that at the top in your daily life. Because the bottom line is, you only have 24 hours in a day, right? And I got really lucky. I joke with my best friend, who's a woman who, she was married really early. She went to Princeton. She got, you know, a great degree, super smart, but she didn't want a career. She really wanted to be a wife and a mom, and she prioritized that early. And she always jokes with me, and she's like, Jed, you managed to get it all in. I really just got it all in. amazing husband and wonderful child. And
there
is hope, but I stayed in New York too long when I knew that wasn't the right atmosphere. And I spent a lot of time just like, thinking time was just always going to be there. And I think that's a head that women get into a lot. So I would say don't lose sight of, like, you know, I don't know, say you're 25. I don't know your exact age, but like, oh, I'm 26. And then suddenly you're going to be like, oh, I'm 36. And you're going to be like, no, this is different. So don't, yeah, don't get in that zone. No.
It become the desire for what I want becomes more and more every day.
Yes. And I think I was a little bit different in that you have a much clearer sense of what you want than I did. I was kind of like, I knew I didn't want to be the CEO, and I knew I really wanted like a Southern gentleman, but I was in New York City. But I was very insecure at the time in terms of like, I didn't want to like leave my family. I was super shy. I had a lot of stuff going on, yeah, but I think ultimately the best decision would have been like pick up, go to Texas, and yeah, I probably would have been married. Like, my, now granted, I have an amazing husband. I have a wonderful child, and I wouldn't want to, like, you know how they always say if you change one thing, you lose everything. So I wouldn't want to change anything. But if I could speak to a woman who is younger, and you seem very like, we're very similar in terms, yeah, of the way we see the world, just don't get caught in the times whirl. That would be my advice. Rolo, is that satisfactory to you? Rolo's in the chat. You know he's causing trouble. He pokes the bear, Tyler. Always pokes the bear. I'm looking at you, Rolo. Anything else?
Yes. Lou gave $5. Said, what is marriage for Leia? Is it love and happiness or duty?
It's a great question. I know the answer. The answer is all of it, isn't it? Duty's important. And actually, that's something that I've learned from my parents recently. Because life gets hard. And you know, things aren't always perfect. My parents are still together and they are just the best. I'm so blessed to have them. But yeah, you know, sometimes it's been bumpy. And I learned, wow, that's duty. Mm-hmm. What you do for dad and what dad does for you, I'm like, wow, that's duty. They're not always happy, but right, you know, they stick by each other. And actually, I'm impressed, and I need to call my mother after. And I need to say to her, I was like, Mom, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You guys are amazing. Like, you know, I need to do that. But it's all of it at the same time, because also a woman needs a man that she can respect. Mm-hmm. And she's not going to be happy with a man that she doesn't respect.
That's right.
I think that's the starting point. And then as years go by, stuff happens and, you know, duty. I think that's the duty comes it's in like combo. 10, 20 years later.
It's a combo. I think that's a good answer. Yeah. I think it's a combo.
Zentience gave another $50. Said, to clarify about a wife mother being a verb, I'll quote someone else. He who findeth a wife finds a good thing. You become my wife when I marry you. Wife is the presence of your character, not a ring. A large percentage of modern women don't understand that. Omega gave $5, said, too right. The Torah speaks of a woman being the first to fall due to propaganda. Adam and Eve fell for the snake's propaganda, oh, yes, causing failure. American capitalist gave $10, said, so traditional women for rich men, boss babes for betas, where do the majority of everyday average guys land? In today's society, we seem to have nothing to offer.
That's so true, and that is so hard. You know, we talk about, oh, it's so hard being a woman because your value declines and all this stuff, but it's really hard being a man because not all men get there. Mm-hmm. Not all men can get there. It takes a lot. I mean, even like, you know, if you're a 21-year-old beautiful woman and you have the world at your feet, you probably don't want a man that makes like less than $500,000 a year and is less than 6 foot. Yeah. What can a man do with that? He can't do anything about that, you know?
That's right.
So the average man, I think, is really tough. But I always say a man can do something about his value. Mm-hmm. You know, a man can wake up at 30, even 36, and he can live be a lazy ass for 36 years, get his shit together, and become a high-value man. That's he right. just can. So I think men have it a little bit better, in my opinion, but I don't think it matters. I think a man can turn it around. But yeah, if you're average, good luck to you, because...
Yeah,
women
men have it better in the sense that like there's just more time, right? Mm. Like, you know, as a woman, yeah, you have more control. I mean, if we're going to talk about women and say like your peak attractiveness, your peak fertility, like you can't change that. Like that's just a reality of the aging process, what happens to the body and your eggs and all that stuff. You're right though. A guy could wake up at 35, and I always tell guys, because my goal here is not for people to be discouraged. I want them to be the best versions of themselves they can be. So even if you're not hitting the mark on everything, you can hit the mark on something. You can get into the gym. You can be in great shape. You can really take care of your body. That's something that you can do. Everyone can do that. Yeah. Everyone can make that happen. You're not going to be able to change your height unless you want to put stilts on. You know, there's some things that you're just going to have to accept about yourself, but most of the things are things you can change. You know, you can work really hard. You can be financially secure. You can save your money really well. You can invest your money really well. There's so much you have control over, your health and well-being. And I feel like in this particular age in particular, a lot of women are going to have respect for guys that are independent. Independent minded and independent yes. thinkers and care about their health, because so much is coming from the top down to make people less and less healthy. Oh, obesity is glorified for women, and you know, the dad bod with the beer belly is now glorified, that I think guys who stand up to that are going to just have that. We can kind of sniff those guys out, right, as women. We're like, yeah. that's an independent thinker. That's attractive. So there's always something you can do. Do not be discouraged by the things that you can't control. Instead, seize on the things you can control and be at the top of your game in those, is what I always say.
And I think, again, men just have more control over it because, mm-hmm. okay, say you're like 5'8" for a guy. So what? Like, if mm-hmm. you've got it all going on, you know, and you're this alpha that leads, you know, and you've got charisma and you're smart, you're intelligent, like, so what? You're 5'8". Like, you the man, yeah. you know? So you can be. And also, like, women aren't looking for, like, the you know, the gorgeous looking man, the one with the pretty smile. Hell no. Mm-hmm. We're looking for, like, the man, you know, the yes. one that's, like, rough and strong and, you know? And so, and anyone can become that.
Yeah.
So,
I always yeah. say, the running joke here is that I like guys that look like they just rolled out from under a car, because that yes. means he can fix the car. He's got the grease on. My husband's always kind of got something going on from having to fix something in the house. His hair is kind of, like, crazy. And I'm like, yeah. You know, I love that. So don't underestimate the power of masculinity, strong masculinity, and the appeal that has, you know, it, because masculinity also means that we're more likely to want to lean on you. We trust you with our safety and security. That's enormous. You know, yeah. even beyond financial security, you know, you want someone who self-defense, who, you know, you got somebody at your door that's not supposed to be there. You want to know your man can take care of it. That wins big points with a yeah. woman. So I want to thank you. I've loved having you here. Great conversation. I knew that it would be. Maybe we'll have you back to talk crypto, Bitcoin. Yeah. I don't know a lot about that, but I'm willing to learn. So maybe that'll be next round. But I appreciate you being here. I thought it was a great discussion. And big thanks to the chat for weighing in. If I didn't get to you, I apologize. But girls got to be places. You know how it is.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Love the conversation. So yes. interesting. And no, you, this is amazing. The setup's beautiful. You do an amazing job.
Well,
so
thank
yeah,
you
thank you so much for having
me. I'm sure
me.
We'll do it again. You're local. You're in Miami. Yes. So I'm sure we'll have this happen again. Thank you so much again. And we'll see you soon.